Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Sunday, June 18th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I am Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. A lot of great podcasts over there, definitely worth your while. I'm going to continue to point you at the final two links in our show notes. They're for a pair of Give, Send, Go campaigns. Go ahead and click on the links. Honestly, I got a lot of family drama going on, so I'm not going to go in the whole spiel, but definitely both worthy causes. Please click on the link. They'll explain it to you, and then we would ask three things of you for both of them: to pray for them, to prayerfully consider giving to them, and to pass the link along so others can do the same. I also want to point out Grace Community Church, Dr. John MacArthur's church out there, has put together a film called The Essential Church. Our church is going to be a viewing location for it. Vail Valley Baptist Church is going to be a viewing location for it. We're going to be doing a viewing on July 23rd. Go ahead and go to our website, vvb.church. There is a, you'll see on the front, you scroll down a little bit. There'll be a little flyer thing right there on the front. You can click on a link to get over it, and you can register to reserve seats. Because we do have a limited number of seats, so you want to go ahead and do that as well. All right, we're going to go ahead and get, like I said, there's a bit of stuff going on over here, so I'm going to go ahead and we're just going to get straight into doing our Bible reading for the day, so I can go ahead and get this one in the can. All right, so let's go ahead and open up with a Lord's Day morning prayer. Let's pray. O Maker and Upholder of all things, day and night are thine, they are also mine from thee. The night to rid me of the cares of the day, to refresh my weary body, to renew my natural strength. The day to summon me to new activities, to give me opportunity to glorify thee, to serve my generation, to acquire knowledge, holiness, eternal life. But one day above all days is made especially for thy honor and my improvement. The Sabbath reminds me of thy rest from creation, of the resurrection of my Savior, of his entering into repose. Thy house is mine, but I am unworthy to meet thee there, and am unfit for spiritual service. When I enter it, I come before thee as a sinner, condemned by conscience and thy word. For I am still in the body and in the wilderness, ignorant, weak, in danger, and in need of thine aid. But encouraged by thy all-sufficient grace, let me go to thy house with a lively hope of meeting thee, knowing that there thou wilt come to me and give me peace. My soul is drawn out to thee in longing desires, for thy presence in the sanctuary, at the table, where all are entertained on a feast of good things. Let me, before the broken elements, emblems of thy dying love, cry to thee with broken heart for grace and forgiveness. I long for that blissful communion of thy people, in thy eternal house, in the perfect kingdom. These are they that follow the Lamb. May I be of their company. Amen. All right, and our morning devotion is from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for June 18th. The text is from Isaiah 54:5. The text is, Thy Redeemer. Jesus the Redeemer is altogether ours and ours forever. All the offices of Christ are held on our behalf. He is king for us, priest for us, and prophet for us. Whenever we read a new title of the Redeemer, let us appropriate him as ours under the name as much as under any other. The shepherd's staff, the father's rod, the captain's sword, the priest's mitre, the prince's scepter, the prophet's mantle, all are ours. Jesus hath no dignity which he will not employ for our exaltation, and no prerogative which he will not exercise for our defense. His fullness of Godhead is our unfailing, inexhaustible treasure house. His manhood also, which he took upon him for us, is ours in all its perfection. To us, our gracious Lord communicates the spotless virtue of a stainless character. To us, he gives the meritorious efficacy of a devoted life. On us, he bestows the reward procured by obedient submission and incessant service. He makes the unsullied garment of his life our covering beauty. The glittering virtues of his character are ornaments and jewels, and the superhuman meekness of his death our boast and glory. He bequeaths us his manger, from which to learn how God came down to man, and his cross to teach us how man may go up to God. All his thoughts, emotions, actions, utterances, miracles, and intercession were for us. He trod the road of sorrow on our behalf, and hath made over to us as his heavenly legacy the full results of all the labors of his life. He is now as much ours as heretofore, and he blushes not to acknowledge himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ, though he is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, Christ everywhere and every way is our Christ, forever and ever most, richly to enjoy. O my soul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, call him this morning thy Redeemer. All right, so our reading today is 1 Kings 19, Acts 12, the first 23 verses, Psalm 136, and Proverbs 17, verses 14 and 15. So, 1 Kings 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and even more, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by about this time tomorrow." And he was afraid, and arose, and ran for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his young man there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Yahweh, take my life, for I am not better than my father's." Then he lay down and slept under a broom tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said to him, "Arise, eat." Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones, and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and lay down again. And the angel of Yahweh came again a second time, and touched him, and said, "Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose, and ate and drank, and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. And he came there to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of Yahweh came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for Yahweh, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, pulled down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." So he said, "Go forth and stand on the mountain before Yahweh." And behold, Yahweh was passing by, and a great and strong wind was tearing up the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before Yahweh. But Yahweh was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but Yahweh was not in the earthquake. Then after the earthquake a fire, but Yahweh was not in the fire. And after the fire a sound of a thin, gentle whisper. Now it happened that when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Then he said, "I have been very zealous for Yahweh, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, pulled down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And Yahweh said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and you will arrive and anoint Hazael king over Aram. And Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall anoint king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. And it will be that the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he went from there and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, while he was ploughing with 12 pairs of oxen before him, and he with the twelve. And Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him. So he forsook the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So he returned from following him and took the pair of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered to him. Acts 12, first 23 verses. Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to harm them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. Now on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Rise up quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals," and he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your garments around yourself and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow, and he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but was thinking he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now truly I know that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but she ran in and reported that Peter was standing in front of the gate. And they said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. They kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him and were astounded. But motioning to them with his hands to be silent, he recounted to them how the Lord had let him out of the prison. And he said, "Report these things to James and the brothers." Then he left and went to another place. Now when day came, there was no small disturbance among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. And when Herod had searched for him and had not found him, he examined the guards and ordered that they be led away to execution. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and was spending time there. Now he was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and with one accord they came to him, and having won over Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they were asking for peace because their country was fed by the king's country. And on an appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel and sitting on the judgment seat, began delivering an address to them. And the assembly kept crying out, "The voice of a god and not of a man." And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. All right, Psalm 136. Give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his loving kindness endures forever. To him who made the heavens with skill, for his loving kindness endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his loving kindness endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his loving kindness endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his loving kindness endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his loving kindness endures forever. To him who struck the Egyptians through their firstborn, for his loving kindness endures forever, then brought Israel out from their midst, for his loving kindness endures forever, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his loving kindness endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his loving kindness endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his loving kindness endures forever. But he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his loving kindness endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his loving kindness endures forever. To him who struck great kings, for his loving kindness endures forever. And killed mighty kings, for his loving kindness endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his loving kindness endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his loving kindness endures forever, and gave their land as an inheritance, for his loving kindness endures forever, even an inheritance to Israel, his servant, for his loving kindness endures forever, who remembered us in our low estate, for his loving kindness endures forever, and has snatched us from our adversaries, for his loving kindness endures forever, who gives food to all flesh, for his loving kindness endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness endures forever. Finally, Proverbs 17, verses 14 and 15. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so abandon the dispute before it breaks out. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to Yahweh. All right. That is our reading for the day. Now let's do our nightly devotion, our evening devotion, I should say. The text for it is from Song of Solomon 5:1. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. The heart of the believer is Christ's garden. He bought it with his precious blood, and he enters it and claims it as his own. A garden implies separation. It is not the open common. It is not a wilderness. It is walled around or hedged in. Would that we could see the wall of separation between the church and the world made broader and stronger. It makes one sad to hear Christians saying, well, there is no harm in this, there is no harm in that, thus getting as near to the world as possible. Grace is at a low ebb in that soul which can even raise the question of how far it may go in worldly conformity. A garden is a place of beauty. It far surpasses the wild, uncultivated lands. The genuine Christian must seek to be more excellent in his life than the best moralist, because Christ's garden ought to produce the best flowers in all the world. Even the best is poor compared with Christ's deservings. Let us not put him off with withering and dwarf plants. The rarest, richest, choicest lilies and roses ought to bloom in the place which Jesus calls his own. The garden is a place of growth. The saints are not to remain undeveloped, always mere buds and blossoms. We should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Growth should be rapid where Jesus is the husbandman, and the Holy Spirit the dew from above. A garden is a place of retirement, so the Lord Jesus Christ would have us reserve our souls as a place in which he can manifest himself as he doth not unto the world. Oh, that Christians were more retired than they kept, that they kept their hearts more closely shut up for Christ. We often worry and trouble ourselves, like Martha, with much serving, so that we have not the room for Christ that Mary had, and do not sit at his feet as we should. The Lord grant the sweet showers of his grace to water his garden this day. All right, well, that is our reading for the day. That is our podcast for the day. I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope if you haven't already, you're going to be worshiping with the saints. I would implore you to do so. I would also implore you to do all that you do today for the glory of God. And I hope to see you again Monday. Let's go ahead and close out with the Lord's Day evening prayer. Let's pray. Most holy God, may the close of an earthly Sabbath remind me that the last of them will one day end. Animate me with joy that in heaven praise will never cease, that adoration will continue forever, that no flesh will grow weary, no congregations disperse, no affections flag, no thoughts wander, no will droop, but all will be adoring love. Guard my mind from making ordinances my stay or trust, from hewing out broken cisterns, from resting on outward helps. Wing me through earthly forms to thy immediate presence. May my feeble prayers show me the emptiness and vanity of my sins. Deepen in me the conviction that my most fervent prayers and most lowly confessions need to be repented of. May my best services bring me nearest to the cross and prompt me to cry, "None but Jesus." By thy Spirit give abiding life to the lessons of this day. May the seed sown take deep root and yield a full harvest. Let all who see me take knowledge that I have been with thee, that thou hast taught me my need as a sinner, hast revealed a finished salvation to me, hast enriched me with all spiritual blessings, hast chosen me to show forth Jesus to others, hast helped me to dispel the mists of unbelief. O great Creator, mighty Protector, gracious Preserver, thou dost load me with loving kindnesses, and hast made me thy purchased possession, and redeemed me from all guilt. I praise and bless thee for my Sabbath rest, my calm conscience, my peace of heart. Amen. All right, again, I hope you have a wonderful day, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Have a good one. God bless.